John chapter 3, verses 22 to 36. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon, near Salim, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." At the conclusion of John chapter 3, we return to the theme of the witness of John the Baptist. And this contrasts with Nicodemus's failure to perceive. Nicodemus is a teacher of the Jews, but he fails to perceive who Christ is and what Israel needs. On the other hand, John has amazing insight into who Christ is and his significance. This returns to themes of chapter 1, and there are many points at which we can see the threads of chapter 1 being picked up, providing a broader introduction to the ministry of Christ that ties things together between the two chapters and bookends all that central section that begins Christ's actual ministry. John's ministry and Jesus' ministry overlap, and here we learn that Jesus' disciples practice baptism too. However, in chapter 4, it's stressed that Jesus himself didn't baptize. His baptism was yet to come. That would occur at the events of Pentecost. It also mentions that John had not yet been thrown into prison. It's an interesting detail, and it, like a number of further details that we find at various points in John, suggests that John was writing to an audience that were largely familiar with other Gospels or accounts of the ministry of Christ. So he wasn't writing in a vacuum, he was writing to people who were aware of the synoptic tradition of Mark, for instance. And it's important to bear that in mind when we often can be tempted in certain liberal forms of scholarship to pit things against each other, just to recognize that the Synoptic Gospels were probably known by most of the readers of John. And that makes a difference to the way that we'll think about reconciling and relating these two things and harmonizing them. John's disciples have discussions about purification with a Jew. It's important to remember that baptism was a form of purification rite, and it arose in a context where many such rites were practiced. It might also be worth noting at this point that the language of Jew is used at many points within John's Gospel, and it can often have a very negative connotation. It is not referring to people who are just Jews in the more general sense that we use it. It can often be, in a more technical sense, the leaders of the people associated with Judea and Jerusalem. So we might think about the way we talk about the folk in DC, if you're in the context of the US. Now, when you're talking about people in DC, you're not necessarily talking about people in a poor neighborhood in DC, you're talking about the people in power. And likewise, I think a lot of the language that's used in reference to the Jews in John's Gospel is used in that sort of sense. In this period of overlap between the two ministries, John speaks more directly to the question of succession and how his ministry would decrease and Jesus' would increase. He uses the language of the bridegroom and the friend of the bridegroom. This connects with the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the sign at the wedding of Cana. Also, as the friend of the bridegroom, one of John's tasks would have been to serve as a witness, to witness the marriage and the union, and to speak on behalf, in certain respects, of the bridegroom, bearing witness to him. He emphasizes joy. Joy is the appropriate emotion for a wedding. And later on we'll see this return to the theme of joy in the context of the resurrection. John the Baptist presents an incredibly high account of who Christ is at this point. He comes from above. He is a first-hand witness of the things of God and of heaven. He utters the very words of God. He has the Spirit without measure. He is loved by the Father and has received all things from him. And our response to him is the difference between condemnation and eternal life. You can't find a higher Christology than that. This is, at the very beginning of this gospel, the highest statement of who Christ is. A question to think about. What is the difference between the baptism performed by Jesus' disciples at this point and the baptisms that they performed after Pentecost?